So let's look at the market. The US dollar index down had been going up, and now on the Fed news, down a tad, down 4% now for the year. The bond aggregate up 4%. TLT, whew, now up 13.32%. That's the long treasury ETF. The intermediate treasury ETF up 6.51%. And junk ETF, can you imagine? Why would anybody be in a junk bond right now? Up 5.89%. The S&P backed off a little bit. It's up 2.57% for the year. So bonds clearly outperforming. Home builders, not a good sign, down 3.48. Interestingly enough, Fitch rated the first subprime mortgage securitization since the bailout. So they're back. U.S. real estate has done very well, up 6%. Europe now down 6.26%. That's a 3%+ drop from last week. So Europe really down on the concerns about Brexit. Germany down 6.6%. The developed markets away from North America down 5.62%. So basically, U.S. holding, everything else turning down. China large caps down 6.52%. India flat, up 0.68%. Oil has come down a bit. It's up 1.93% for the year. Gold still doing strong, up 21%, and Brexit fear should help it. Silver up 25.4%. And the commodities index up 8.78%. So that's a relatively nice improvement for commodities. Headline in the British papers: business goes into lockdown as profound political change looms. I want to read you just a section of this very interesting piece. As if to underscore all these uncertainties, the chief executive of Royal Dutch Shell, now Britain's largest company by far after its recent merger with BG Group, has announced a series of measures for living with what he calls, quote, a lower forever environment, quote, that is virtually permanently low inflation, low demand, and low interest rates. In an effort to sustain the dividend and revive the share price, he's further slashing costs and investment. Investors had better hope he succeeds. Shell plans to pay dividends of around 10 billion pounds this year, or an astonishing 1 pound for every 7.5 pounds in total dividends paid in the UK, according to estimates by Capita Asset Services. This marks an alarming degree of income dependence on just a single management team operating in what green campaigners view as an industry heading for terminal decline. They could be right. Shell is reducing investment by a further third, which is not exactly a vote of confidence in the future. Nor is Shell alone. Globally, oil and gas investment has been slashed by $600 billion in the last 18 months alone, with no letup in sight. Across the extractive industries as a whole, which historically account for a very high portion of all capital spending by business, the damage is more extreme still. This is a perfect example of what happens, the economic disadvantage of extraordinary centralization and managed markets. But actually, the Shell management is quite good, but if I was a management team, I would hate to have one eighth of all the dividend responsibility in the UK. That's a heavy burden to carry, particularly for the UK pension funds. Speaking of unhealthy centralization, Microsoft has announced the purchase of LinkedIn. My immediate response was to go to LinkedIn and delete my account. And I would suggest everyone else do the same. I don't think you want your information being sucked up and tracked by Microsoft. If everyone did it, would it bust the sale? I bet it would. But be my guest. An interesting headline in the Wall Street Journal this year: talent war rages in car industry. If you look at the re-engineering of what a car is and how it works and who drives it, it's an unbelievably dynamic time. And you've got unbelievable companies with amazing engineering skills and ability going at this ferociously. And so, not surprisingly, you get a talent war. It's interesting, if you look at unfilled positions, the number of unfilled positions in the U.S. is rising. And that's because you have a split in skill. If you look at what an auto company needs to win the re-engineering of the car race, it's very different skills than what a lot of people have. And so what we're seeing is a real lack of alignment between curriculums and experience and what what we need now to deal with new technology and to generate income. So please make sure that you and your loved ones are re-engineering that alignment. Don't wait for the schools to do it. The schools are going to be the last to know. You're going to have to take responsibility of your lifelong learning or your kids' or grandkids' education. Federal appeals court has upheld net neutrality rules. That's good news for Netflix and Google, bad news for TV and cable. I'm always happy when TV and cable get bad news. Consumer spending is reported as up. I don't believe it. I think you're seeing inflation in food, in healthcare, and gas expenses. Multiple reports from around the country keep reverberating back and saying we were right, that Obamacare has essentially wiped out a great portion of discretionary income, and so the slow burn continues. I did two reviews that are up on the website this week. One, Sally Denton's new book, The Profiteer, Spectacle, and the Men Who Build the World by Sally Denton, as I said. And Bechtel is an extremely important part of the deep state, and I have a lot of subscribers who live in the San Francisco Bay Area, arguably the most powerful corporation in the San Francisco Bay Area. This is a really well-done book, and if you're interested in both the deep state or the San Francisco Bay Area, I strongly recommend it to you. We'll have Sally on the Solari Report in August, so she'll be coming on to talk about the book. And then Dr. Dadi Sherry, We Have Dared to Be Free. Dr. Sherry was a biological scientist, professor, and then having been raised, born and raised in Haiti, she started to keep a diary when the earthquake hit in 2010, and then proceeded to keep track of everything and the outrageous things going on. It's an excellent description of disaster capitalism. Haiti is one of, if not the worst, examples of disaster capitalism by the U.S. and the Clintons. And although she's very measured and coherent in her description, if you read very precisely what the Clintons have been up to in Haiti, it will turn your stomach. And it's always amazing to me that they enjoy support within the African-American community after what they've done.